Hello and welcome back to Every 11 Minutes, a SpongeBob SquarePants podcast. I am Quadri Fletcher.
And I'm Tyler Pittis.
And today we are discussing episode 9 of season 1 of SpongeBob SquarePants, which includes the segments Nature Pants and Opposite Day. Tyler Pittis, how you doing?
I'm great. How are you doing, Quadri?
I'm doing pretty well. I worked today.
As did I.
Worked out.
Whoa, nice.
I had like a my leg moment on the treadmill because it just, I don't know, I guess being 25, things just start shutting down. This is it.
Yeah.
And my leg, actually the past couple times I've worked out has... my knee has just been fucked up. Like, I'll take the first step off the treadmill, and then it's like, oh no.
Do you run or walk?
I speed walk at the highest incline.
Gotcha.
So I walk.
That's actually good. Yeah, because running can really fuck up your knees if you're not careful about it.
Yes. I was really into running right before the pandemic happened, and then I got tired of it, and... then I started getting fat and I was like, I need to do something about this, but I hate running. And I also, the thing you just said about it being very detrimental to your knees in the future, or my knees in the future, anyone's knees.
Right.
So I saw a TikTok one day about how speed walking at an incline was a really good low impact workout. So I started doing that and it works great. It works. Anyone trying to lose weight, speed walk on the treadmill at an incline, like the weight will fall off, but it also, I guess, still has some of the issues that running can have, or walking for a prolonged period of time.
Yeah. I love walking. That's my main thing. I just walk around the neighborhood. It's hilly enough.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm still a fat ass, but you know,
oh, <shut up. laughs>
but I'm a lot better than if I hadn't been walking. And like now, so I was like the best shape of my life during the pandemic because I just like did nothing but walk and work out. And now I have a desk job. So, you know,
if I didn't work out, like just take the initiative to do it on my own, I would, I have a job where I sit down 90% of the time.
Right.
So I'm in the same boat. In college, walking was just built into my schedule, walking to and from class to work, walking to the subway to go downtown to work at the TV station. Like it was built in.
Yeah.
So I didn't have to work out, but as soon as I graduated, I realized I was very, still all the time.
Yeah. No, I mean, same. Yeah. Yeah. Hiking too. I'm a big hiker.
Hiking's great. Now. You don't feel like you're working out.
Right. Yeah.
Are you ready to get into this week's episode?
Yeah, great transition from hiking to our first segment.
As mentioned, today on Every 11 Minutes, we are discussing episode 9 of season 1 of SpongeBob SquarePants, which includes Nature Pants and Opposite Day, and originally aired September 11th, 1999. Written by Paul Tibbett, Mark O'Hare, and Peter Burns. Storyboard director Paul Tibbett, storyboard artist Mark O'Hare, animation director Sean Dempsey, creative director Derek Dryman. So I want to start off by saying I loved the music bed that's used for the title card in this segment. It's the fancy soothing calming music.
Oh, I think you're right. I think it was soothing. Yeah.
I feel like they play it again in maybe the segment where Mr. Krabs dates Mrs. Puff or something
romantic.
Yeah, it was like, So kind of out of place for the segment, but I did love the music. So we start off in the Krusty Krab. SpongeBob's cooking, and a jellyfish appears in the kitchen and flies out of the window, and then all of the Krabby Patties on the grill turn into jellyfish and fly out of the kitchen window, which is this kitchen window usually there? Is that another?
Could be. The kitchen is another thing that changes, especially the layout and like what SpongeBob does versus what he doesn't.
Well, we get a window this time. I know we get a door in Nasty Patty, at least in season three. We get doors a few times and
Yeah, and sometimes there's a door that goes outside too.
Yep.
Like to the trash can and dumpster, whatever.
The jellyfish fly out the window. SpongeBob follows and sort of becomes a jellyfish. And we then realize they go to Jellyfish Field. He's sort of living out his fantasy. And then we realize it's literally a fantasy because he is daydreaming at work. Relatable.
Well, yeah. And especially like that first spring day. And now, like, it is gorgeous outside. Yeah. And being inside all day sucks because it's just like you just want to be outside.
And not like, oh, it's summer, so it's hot, so it's just – no, like it's nice. It's not too hot. Yeah. It's not humid.
Yeah.
It's nice.
It's not humid. That's the big thing. Yeah.
And look at us working.
Yes. The grind.
It never stops. So SpongeBob's having a daydream. Krabs snaps him back to reality. And we see that while he was daydreaming, he was burning the hell out of some Krabby Patties. And
haven't we all?
And Mr. Krabs gets the fire extinguisher and hands it to SpongeBob, who throws it at the grill, which causes an actual fire to break out.
SpongeBob! SpongeBob! Wake up, boy! You're burning me money!
Mr. Krabs, what do we do?
Here, use this! SpongeBob, come into me office.
Which I don't think it would. Just flag on the play there. Because it's still the same chemicals inside. I think it would still put it out.
Yeah.
And otherwise it's just metal.
Right.
Yeah.
Is this the first instance? I want to say no as I'm asking this question, but I'll ask it anyway. Is this the first instance of underwater fire on the show?
Ooh, that is a good question. Does Sandy have one? Wait, now there's a fire engine. Does Sandy have one in jellyfishing or whenever? No, I'm sorry. At the tree dome, is she like in the field with a fire? You know what I mean? When we first meet her.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh gosh!
Now I can't remember. But that wasn't even that's the only thing I would.
That wasn't even in my notes too. I just thought of that as we're recording this, so I didn't have the opportunity to actually go back and look. But
yeah.
Anyway, we get underwater fire, legendary trope, the recurring gag on the show.
So great.
We also get a big meme alert because I think this moment where SpongeBob, he throws the fire extinguisher and then he's trying to just blow the fire out, which I have seen used as, I feel like I've seen every frame of SpongeBob used as a meme, but that's one of the
ones
I've seen.
This episode in particular.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, there's so many memes. Yeah.
Yeah. And hopefully I have a couple other ones flagged and I'm sure you do too. Hopefully I got all of them. And if you don't, maybe we can compare, but so he blows the air. That doesn't work. A firefighter, maybe the same one who we just heard a few seconds ago, comes into the kitchen with He's doing mouth sirens?
Yes, like with SpongeBob in Hall Monitor. It's clearly just protocol for EMS down here.
I was going to say Bikini Bottom, you know, like law enforcement or patrol.
Yeah. First responders.
First responders, thank you.
Yeah.
Do not, I guess they don't have access to actual sirens?
Well, because you can't hear high-pitched noise underwater or something. No, it's the opposite, right? No, I don't think either of those things are true. Never mind.
I'm letting you take this one. I don't know.
Because I was thinking, like, dolphins are super high pitch, but whales are super low pitch, and we can hear both of those, so never mind.
So, the firefighter goes to hose out the fire, and SpongeBob steps in front of the grill, catching the brunt of the hose.
Mm-hmm.
But it works out because he falls onto the grill, and because he's a sponge filled with water, it fizzles out, causing him to shrink and shrivel and sort of char on the grill.
I do love how as soon as he falls on it and puts it out, the fireman and Mr. Krabs just go, "We won!" That's just a funny line to me. I don't know why.
So we bubble over to Mr. Krabs' office. Krabs says to SpongeBob, "This is the fourth time this week I've had to scrape you off of something," and inquires about what's going on. SpongeBob tells him that he is pretty much just bored with his life and wants to live amongst the jellyfish in jellyfish fields.
He's suddenly Henry David Thoreau.
Yes.
Suddenly a transcendentalist thinker, you know. No hint of this in previous episodes, but...
Well, SpongeBob seems like a... sort of a free spirit. Mm-hmm. And...
that's true.
He doesn't... I mean, he's very tied down to this job, except for in this segment. But he doesn't really let things tie him down or hold him down. So I guess it makes sense that he would be having somewhat of an existential crisis. And looking for answers.
Yeah, well, and I will say this is the first of a few episodes that have him as kind of like socialist or anti-capitalist undertones, like the strike episode where he's like, "We will dismantle the establishment board by board." That's a meme right there. This is the first time where we're like, SpongeBob is more than just like an idiot. He actually has like a point of view. You know what I mean?
Yes. Krabs doesn't have any faith that SpongeBob could actually go live with the jellyfish. And SpongeBob leaves the Krusty Krab in a huff, sort of angry, and sets out to prove Mr. Krabs wrong. Back at his pineapple, SpongeBob is leaving some of his belongings to some of his friends. He gives Squidward a can opener.
"And Squidward, I want you to have my can opener.
And I thought this friendship would never pay off."
And he says, "And I thought this friendship would never pay off," which is an excellent delivery.
It is. And I guess it is nice of, you know, somehow I have to call out Squidward because he never wants to be a part of the nonsense. But if SpongeBob called him and said, "Hey, I'm going to go live with the jellyfish. Come get some of my stuff, or I have something to give you," and he walks over, what is he expecting?
Right. It's a great point. It's a very valid point. Yeah, maybe he was just walking by, and
that's fair.
You know, but that's an excellent point.
SpongeBob gives Patrick some mayonnaise, old phone books, which are a relic.
Yeah, that's a great little sign of the times there. That's awesome.
When I was in fifth grade, I had a summer gig. My grandmother picked up like a part-time, some freelance gig delivering. I forget if they were white pages or yellow pages. It had to be white pages at this point, I guess. But delivering phone books to they were houses too. So anyway, delivering phone books to houses and businesses. And so I would, we had to like bag them and wrap them up and throw them to the houses. Right. And so I tagged along and she gave me some money. But that was one of the most excruciating things, like as far as manual labor that I've ever done in my life.
Yeah. Did you like have to throw them out, or did you have to?
We had to like walk them up to the property and set them down and make sure they were like there. But we didn't have to get them. They were very heavy. That was also where I was when Michael Jackson died. I was delivering phone books. So fun fact.
Interesting.
Anyway, SpongeBob gives him some old phone books, mayonnaise, and a jellyfish net, which is in a very nice carrying case. All reliable. Sandy walks up, and when SpongeBob tells her what his plans are, she describes jellyfish as cold, mean, and none too bright, which I just thought was funny. A little southern spin.
Yeah. Hey, SpongeBob, you having a garage sale?
No, Sandy, I'm giving up my material possessions to live in the wild with the jellyfish.
SpongeBob, of all the crazy schemes, why would you want to live among the jellyfish? They're cold and mean and none too bright.
Oh, Sandy, that's exactly the response I would expect from someone who lives the sham of a life I once lived. I'm going to prove that I don't need all this stuff to be happy. Maybe someday you'll wise up and join me. Goodbye. I won't be needing these. Buzz, buzz, buzz.
SpongeBob shoots back that and accuses Sandy of living the sham of a life that he used to live.
It's just so, like, threaded throughout his, like, you know, sudden hatred of the industrial world. What did he read or do to suddenly have this change of heart?
Well, that's the thing. You're right. He's so impressionable that any new idea could be the catalyst for a complete life overhaul for him.
Right. We all know people like that.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
But I don't like to be called out like that, Tyler. Thank you. So SpongeBob then strips and leaves. He leaves his pants behind and runs into the wilderness.
Again, we've all been there.
And I wish I had written the full line down. I didn't. But I think Sandy says I give him some amount of time. And then this is the part I honed in on. Squidward says, I'll give him 11 minutes.
I'll give him a week.
I'll give him 11 minutes.
Patrick said!
Yep.
Which I believe...
I think this is the second direct reference.
I think so.
Till 11 minutes. Yeah, excellent. Yeah, and we should mention that Patrick is having a breakdown throughout this whole process.
Thank you, yes.
Like...
Go ahead.
Do you think he received mayonnaise, and while SpongeBob was gone, fan theory coming. Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
While SpongeBob was gone, he found new ways to use the mayonnaise.
Oh, no.
Leading to his question, is mayonnaise an instrument? Mind blown, right?
That could be canon.
We'll have to write to, the fine people at SpongeBob.
Yes. Luckily, they're still there. Probably most of the people who worked on this. So we are out in Jellyfish Field. SpongeBob's observing his new friends, the jellyfish, and they're swimming around, flying around, whatever. And they're eating some kelp. I guess that is kelp.
Yeah, I think so.
And SpongeBob's out there trying to assimilate with them. He starts eating the kelp. And as he's playing with them, he gets stung by a jellyfish.
This is the life. Hey, everybody. Buzz, buzz. Buzz to you. Buzz, buzz. Nice current today. Hey, what's the buzz? Hello, I'm Jelly Bob, and you are? Nice to meet you.
He then starts smelling. He's exactly very big foreshadowing of what's to come. He then starts smelling Krabby Patties, which may be a sign of a stroke, but then we see...
this is also where he finds the nest too, right? This is, that's like the first time he sees the nest, and then
yes,
yeah,
mm-hmm.
Also foreshadowing.
So keep that in mind. So he begins smelling Krabby Patties. He looks over Cliff, and he sees Patrick and Sandy having a lovely picnic outdoors, coincidentally. And as they see SpongeBob approach the edge of the cliff, Sandy goes, "Oh, Patrick.
There he is, Patrick. Say your line."
And Patrick proceeds to say all of his lines, including stage directions.
Yes. And as two people who have been around people that read teleprompters many times, you know, like we know people that have certainly done this on air. It's amazing. Oh. I love the shout out to that.
So as this picnic is happening, this fake picnic, SpongeBob realizes what's happening and says to Patrick and Sandy that this is truly what he wants. And he says it while there's a sort of a POV shot looking up at SpongeBob, and we get the most useless censorship from like a blade of grass covering nothing. It's like the, I don't know if it's, I'm guessing it was
intentional. You can't do a guy like that, Quadri. That's so mean.
I mean, you're right. I'm not here to body shame anyone. But yeah, clearly a little joke that the writers thought would be funny for the adults. Patrick says that he, Sandy, and Squidward all miss him, which sets up a great cutaway of Squidward having a party for one in his house.
SpongeBob! Come back!
Patrick, I'm not coming home.
I miss you. Sandy misses you. Even Squidward misses you.
So SpongeBob sort of tries to go back to living his jellyfish life. And then Patrick comes up again, speaking of having a breakdown. At this point, he goes like full insane and comes back with Old Reliable and threatens to hunt SpongeBob and put him on his mantle.
Patrick, what are you doing?
If I can't have you as a friend, I'm gonna make you a trophy. I even picked out this nice jar for you.
Patrick, go home. I'm a jellyfish now.
That is psychopath. Like, levels. That is like Jack Nicholson in The Shining.
Big serial killer vibes.
Yeah.
Coming from Patrick Starr, this segment. So, this begins a very intense chase scene around jellyfish fields. SpongeBob is trying to run and hide. He hides behind what he thinks is a large rock, which meows and slithers away or slides away, whatever snails do. And this is about the time when we get some very memorable memes, or what would be very memorable moments that would later become memes. We get SpongeBob is running and he stops and hides for a second and he's out of breath and he does like the tired SpongeBob like and then right after that we tilt up and see Patrick hiding on whatever this arch,
it's like an arch,
is. And it's like the Savage Patrick, Angry Patrick meme.
Right. He's stuck to the ceiling.
Right.
And he has the net. Yeah, that's the one I flagged too. I feel like that's the most famous one. That might be the most famous one in SpongeBob. That one is used so much.
Yes. And it's a fairly recent... most of these are fairly recent memes. Mm-hmm. But I feel like that was the big one that sort of set off the trend or the mm-hmm. resurgence of people using SpongeBob in that way. Patrick chases SpongeBob over to a jellyfish hive nest. SpongeBob sure. jumps inside. And Patrick, this was so funny how long this moment was where he keeps trying to jump and just at this point, he's trying to just catch the nest with the jellyfish right. net. But he's unsuccessful. He gives up. And SpongeBob sort of takes a breath. And then a bunch of jellyfish fly into this hive and begin to sting him again.
And Patrick gives up first.
Yep. Patrick has given up at this point.
He breaks Old Reliable, which is tragic.
Yes.
Yeah.
Not best friend behavior.
You would never break my jellyfish net, Quatchy. No.
Never. So SpongeBob's getting the shit stung out of him by all these jellyfish. He runs and he finds a cave to sleep in, thinking that everything's going to be fine. Although at this point you can tell there are sort of some cracks in the facade as he's beginning to realize what the reality of living as a jellyfish is like. So he's sleeping in this cave. He takes sort of a clump of grass, I guess, and attempts to use it as a blanket. And then it's revealed that there are a bunch of sea urchins within this clump of grass, which causes him to begin scratching himself furiously. And this is when he basically gives up on his dream. So he wanders back to Bikini Bottom, very depressed. He looks inside the Krusty Krab, which is closed. He walks by Sandy's tree dome, which is empty. And finally, he makes his way home back to his pineapple. And he's sort of sad and saying to himself that he's regretful that he gave up all of his friends and possessions. And then he opens his door and surprise, everyone has thrown a homecoming party of sorts for him, which means they had no expectation that he was going to be successful.
That is so true.
And fair enough.
Yeah. Yeah. That's excellent.
What have I done? I had a great life and friends, and I gave all of that up.
Welcome home, SpongeBob!
You guys are the best. I made a huge mistake. Please forgive me.
Quit your blubbering and have a Krabby Patty.
Don't mind if I do.
And I'll see you at work first thing tomorrow morning.
Aye, aye, Cap'n.
SpongeBob, do us all a favor.
Don't mind if I do. Ta-da!
Okay, that's enough. Could we please stop this?
Patrick Itchy!
It is great to be home!
I also want to point out that when the jellyfish first get to the hive, he says, greeting comrades. So again.
Yes.
Just more undertones.
You are right. SpongeBob is happy to see everyone. They've thrown him this party. Squidward gives him back his pants. And then they all have a group hug at the end, which Squidward hates.
Yep. Because they all kind of, you know, they use him as the middle.
Right, yes.
Yeah.
Squidward's also the only one wearing a party hat. which again,
yeah,
he's involved. He acts so above it, and then he goes full throttle into whatever the activity is.
I mean, I will say that reminds me of you. Not so much anymore, but back in the day when we first knew each other, first started knowing each other. Yeah.
Wow. Well, thank you for judging me by what I did 10 years ago.
No. That's not what I'm saying.
No, I'm joking.
No.
Proudly admit that I am probably the character I'm most like on this show is Squidward. I don't think I'm as acerbic, but I certainly, you know, I have my moments of being a little grumpy.
So. No, and certainly not as much, you know, now that you don't have to go to school every day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, when you don't have...
You play a mean clarinet is the other. So...
Thank you. I've been waiting for you to say that this whole time. Why do you think I started this podcast? Damn it. I loved this segment because it was absurd. There is no explanation given for SpongeBob's sudden dissatisfaction with his life, which he's seemingly very happy with, very happy in general. So I love that he has this compulsion to just completely uproot everything he's built and go live with the damn jellyfish again with the jellyfish this week. He won't stop.
Was that last week, the episode that was the jellyfish jam?
That was 2 episodes ago.
I loved this episode as well. This actually was already in my top 5 already. I don't know why I said it like that, but this rocketed into my top 5. One piece of trivia too,
yes,
that I thought was interesting was when Patrick is starting his chase, he holds up the net and is like, apparently that's a reference to Tusken Raiders. I always thought it was like a Tarzan scream, but I guess Tusken Raiders makes more sense from Star Wars, because they like hunt people, but Tarzan doesn't really do that.
That's funny. I had this coming in at, did not quite crack my top 5. It is now number 8. I believe I put one of the segments from last week in at number 8, so it got pushed down.
Okay.
This clocked in at number 8 for me. Funny, memorable, obviously the memes sort of speak for themselves at this point, but there are a few stronger segments, but I think as we get farther in the season, this will end up somewhere in the top half for me. I thought it was great. Well, are you ready to move on to Opposite Day?
I am. You know, when I first saw the title of this one, I completely could not remember what the plot of this was. This was definitely the first episode that I did not remember.
That's so funny because we're going to... spoiler alert, I love this segment. So
yeah,
as soon as I saw that this was on the docket, I was very happy. So let's get into it. Writers, Chuck Klein, Jay Lender, and Mr. Lawrence. Storyboard director, Chuck Klein. Storyboard artist, Jay Lender. Animation director, Tom Yasumi. Creative director, Derek Dryman. It's morning. Squidward wakes up to SpongeBob and Patrick in his bed. They yell happy birthday and they sing him a public domain birthday song. The only problem is it's not his birthday. So he's immediately irate.
It goes on for like a minute.
It goes on for so long.
And then they leave and he says, it's not my birthday.
Surprise! Happy birthday, Squidward!
Happy birthday, cake! Happy birthday, pin the tail on the seahorse! Happy birthday, Squidward!
Yay!
it's not my birthday!
So again, it's his fault. He's prolonging the nonsense. This is, I'm telling you, man.
Love the Squidward victim blaming this episode.
I've had enough, you know, because he's just, he's so damn angry, but he does it to himself. It's like Mrs. Puff. Sometimes he doesn't know how to say no.
It's true.
Not that it wouldn't fall on deaf ears, but, you know, come on, advocate for yourself a little more.
It's true.
So it seems like he's extra fed up with SpongeBob and Patrick, as if this is the final straw. So he calls who else but Bikini Realty to see if he can sell his house. And I love this character, this realtor.
Yeah.
So she's great.
Serena Irwin. Serena. Serena? I don't know. It's spelled S-I-R-E-N-A.
She's voiced by Serena Irwin?
Yes.
Okay. Does she have a name, or is she just...
She's just real estate agent.
Real estate agent. That's great. Well, she's fantastic.
She does a lot of SpongeBob voice, especially stuff on the new stuff.
Well, she does a great job.
She does an excellent job.
So she says that she can sell it as long as it's not infested with nematodes or surrounded by bad neighbors.
Yep. And of course, the nematodes thing is also a foreshadow.
Right. Squidward hangs up the phone and realizes that he'll never be able to sell this house if that's the case, if those are the stipulations, because SpongeBob and Patrick are obviously terrible neighbors. And he says that whatever a good neighbor would do, SpongeBob would do the opposite. And this gives him the idea to create Opposite Day.
Except he says it. He says opposite, opposite, opposite. Like, he's thought of this before. Like, this is like, if this ever gets to be too much, this is what I'm going to do.
Well, it's good.
I thought, at least.
I know. It's good to know that he had a plan B. So, I believe this is the first, I mean, this is not a real holiday, but it's the start of many holidays that are not real holidays that we get on the show. I believe it's this is the first holiday that
probably
is mentioned.
Yeah.
So, happy Opposite Day.
Do we get an exact date? I don't think we do.
I don't think we do either.
Yeah, a lot of times they'll show a calendar when they reference like random holidays in the show, but I don't think they do for this one.
Yeah, I was going to say maybe we could go by the air date, but I don't think September 11th is a good day to Opposite Day.
Oh, or man, yeah,
any other
do there?
Major holidays. So
brutal.
Do you remember, was Opposite Day or like kids in your class talking about Opposite Day? No, not. I was not going to say, do you remember 9/11? No. God damn it.
We got to leave that in. We absolutely.
No, I was going to ask if you remembered kids in your class in elementary school making jokes about Opposite Day, or just saying, oh, it's Opposite Day, and then everyone would act like idiots, because I feel like that happened throughout, from like first through like third or fourth grade. It was like, oh, it's Opposite Day.
Definitely.
Yeah,
definitely.
It was a big deal.
And I guess this is where it came from, right? Like, does this phenomenon predate SpongeBob?
Maybe, but I feel like for, you know, people our age,
sure,
this is definitely the cultural touchstone for Opposite Day.
Yeah.
So Squidward gets this idea. The next morning, he wakes up SpongeBob by being a one-man band, and he has the bagpipes and the drums, and he's making so much noise. And then there's a great line from SpongeBob, who asks,
Squidward, why are you playing that drum?
Completely ignoring all the other noise he's making.
That's true. I never thought about that. That's hilarious.
Squidward says that the drum is just his wig case, and he breaks it and pulls out this wig that the dimensions of are so strange, because he's still bald. You can see all of the scalp.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like an Elvis wig with like LeBron's forehead, you know? Like...
So he pulls out the wig and is acting very strangely. He's holding some bubbles, and SpongeBob tells him that he needs some bed rest. Squidward tells SpongeBob that it's opposite day and that he's just celebrating that. SpongeBob takes this to heart and begins celebrating opposite day. He goes home and he's basically just acting depressed and unimpressed by everything. Patrick knocks on the door, and from the other side of the door, SpongeBob yells at him, tells him to go away, and says that he's not his friend. And Patrick begins crying. A lot of Patrick crying this week.
That's true. And I just want to say two things about this last scene. One, it was probably so much fun for Roger Bumpus, or however you pronounce his last name, probably that, to record these lines, because I feel like he never gets to do like just ridiculous, silly Squidward. So it must have just been a blast to record those.
I would imagine. So I wonder if there are any like good outtakes or just whatever from the series, especially from these earlier seasons, because I'm sure they're probably very inappropriate and hilarious.
Yeah. Well, particularly the line, "Come on, SpongeBob, tackle me." Because it's just so like fatherly, and you know, like and the other thing I wanted to say is Squidward says,
"Normally you're really loud and annoying, so what are you going to be today?"
"Quiet and out of the way! Yay!
Yeah! Why don't you get a jump on it?"
Which is one of my favorite lines.
That's great. That the whole part is great, especially with Squidward just being outright like, "You're loud and annoying, so what are you going to be?" Just like laying it all out there. So back at SpongeBob's, SpongeBob is toying with Patrick for opposite day, but Patrick obviously doesn't know. So SpongeBob lets him in on it, tells him that it's opposite day and that they should be doing the opposite of what they would normally do. Then we get this great montage of them doing opposite day things. So we see Patrick and SpongeBob. They retain their bodily shapes, but they sort of switch skin color, if you will.
Yeah. Yeah, because like the background is changing color. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like the light projected on them changes color.
Yes.
I will also say that right before this montage, Gary barks because it's opposite day, which is awesome. It's a great touch.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Speaking of Gary, in this montage, he's eating what I'm assuming is a fancy meal. It's at a table with a white tablecloth, and we see table dressings. Cut to SpongeBob eating some of Gary's food from the bowl and meowing. This is not the last time we'll see this in season one.
No. So
keep that in mind. We also see Patrick using the bathroom on some newspaper.
That's right.
Acting like Gary would act. And then we also see this moment where SpongeBob and Patrick are blowing bubbles and they blow themselves in. Not that doesn't. they are blowing bubbles and they turn into the bubbles, and then Patrick pops into thin air. The last thing this montage ends on is them talking to each other backwards.
To get to the opposite side.
I give up.
Hey, Patrick.
That's which great. I thought was awesome. Yeah.
That's awesome. SpongeBob invites Patrick to do some housework on the pineapple for some reason. I don't think there's anything wrong with it, but... And I didn't know SpongeBob was such a handyman. Then we find out he's not, because they effectively destroy SpongeBob's house. Squidward looks out the window, sees what... Well, first of all, he hears what's happening, so then he goes to the window and looks out and sees SpongeBob and Patrick destroying the pineapple. He's mortified because the realtor's coming in a short time, and it's an eyesore next to his house. He calls SpongeBob the worst neighbor in history. This is so funny. Yes. I've always loved this part because it's so... You can tell by this point that the opposite day idea has left Squidward's brain. And yep. So he just yells out instinctively, "You're the worst neighbor in history." And SpongeBob takes it as such a sincere compliment.
SpongeBob, what are you...
Ah! Hello, Squidward. I mean, goodbye, Squidward. Ah, it's an opposite day. Terrible.
Ah! Oh, I'll tell you what's terrible. Living next to you, you're the worst neighbor in history.
Wow. That's the nicest thing Squidward has ever said to me.
If the real estate agent sees that mess, I'll never sell this house.
Yeah, he says, wow, that's the nicest thing Squidward has ever said to me.
So Squidward heads over to SpongeBob's house to repair it. He has a bulldozer and bulldozes all of the debris away from the site and begins rebuilding.
He has construction equipment ready for this exact situation. Again, he's had this plan forever. He predicted what could go wrong, and he had a bulldozer ready.
SpongeBob is confused by Squidward's behavior, and he gives this long, rambling, confusing explanation about what Squidward's motivation must be for cleaning up his yard and rebuilding his house.
I don't get it. I made my house a mess, which was making it clean, which made Squidward clean my yard, but that really means he's messing it up. But the opposite of clean is filth, which means filth is clean. That means Squidward's really making my yard a wreck, but I'd normally wreck my own yard, which means Squidward's being the opposite of Squidward, which means he's SpongeBob. Da-ha! I understand everything now. I must be the opposite of SpongeBob by being...
Squidward.
He concludes that because Squidward's doing that, he must do what Squidward would do and become Squidward.
Yep.
This another segment where SpongeBob is sort of having a little bit of an identity crisis.
And Patrick also wants to become Squidward.
Yes. So the way they complete this transition to Squidward is SpongeBob puts a rubber band around his body and yanks at his nose, making it bigger, and he looks like a piece of toast. And
he does look like a piece of toast. That is a great comparison.
And SpongeBob gives Patrick, is it a rock or something from the dirt, like a little piece of coral or something, to make a nose?
Yeah, I thought it was a barnacle. Did you know that a barnacle's penis is 28 times the size of its body? Anyway.
No.
That is a Snapple can lid fact that has stuck with me for decades.
That was a Snapple fact that you got?
Yeah.
Oh my God. That's shocking.
Yeah.
I would never have thought they would put the word penis on a Snapple.
Yeah.
Cap. Well,
was it Snapple or was it just the internet? Now you have me doubting myself. No, I'm pretty sure it was Snapple.
I hope it is.
Either way, it's true. I know that.
Well, maybe they should explore that more on the show. So SpongeBob and Patrick, now acting as Squidward, sneak into Squidward's house to do squid things. And immediately after that, the realtor pulls up in her boat, So SpongeBob answers the door, and there's this great sequence where he's much shorter than Squidward. So she talks about how he thought he would be taller, or she thought he would be taller. And SquidBob says, I get that a lot. So, and he's doing this impression, which is great.
Oh my! The house is even more beautiful in person! Hello, Mr. Tentacles?
Yes, please come in.
It's funny, I pictured you being much taller.
Yeah, everyone says that.
Now, if you want the sale to go through, you've got to tell me all the positive things about your house.
Positive things? Opposite day.
I'd love to. The floor creaks, the roof leaks, there's a terrible draft.
Oh. Well, you didn't mention that on the phone.
Please let me finish. The winters are harsh. The summers are brutal. There's a wild man-eating clam in the backyard. Now, would you care to see the rest of my home?
Yeah, talk about lines that must have been fun to record. Yeah. I mean, we get a lot more of this later, but this is kind of the first time where Tom Kenny gets to, experiment with that.
So SpongeBob is showing the realtor around the house, and he gets to the art room or the bedroom or whatever. And as the realtor's complimenting Squidward's art, Patrick jumps out through the canvas, through this painting, and scares her.
And here's the worst room in the house, my gallery.
Oh my, this painting is very nice.
Thank you!
Who's that?
I'd like to introduce you to Mr. Squidward.
You're both Squidward?
I'm Squidward, he's Squidward.
We're both Squidward.
He also introduces himself as Squidward, just as SpongeBob did.
As Mr. Squidward.
As Mr. Squidward.
And you can tell that it's from 1999 because the real estate agent thinks it's inconceivable that two men could be living together with the same last name.
Right. We cut back over to Squidward, who has miraculously finished repairs on SpongeBob's pineapple in record time. And as he glances back, he sees the realtor's boat parked in front of his home. Just then, we go back inside, and SpongeBob is playing the clarinet for the realtor very badly. So he is he's nailing this aspect.
Yeah.
Of being Squidward.
Yeah, if it was true opposite day, he would have been acing it.
Okay, I really don't want to hear another one.
Okay.
I really don't want to hear more, thank you.
I hear you loud and clear. Stop! Get away from her!
So this is when the real Squidward arrives and introduces himself to the realtor as Squidward. And she gives the greatest line, so memorable. What kind of fool do you take me for? He's Squidward. He's Squidward. You're Squidward. I'm Squidward. Are there any other Squidwards I should know about?
Oh, I am so sorry, ma'am. I hope these two barnacle heads haven't harmed you in any way.
Who are you?
Why, I'm Squidward.
What kind of fool do you take me for? He's Squidward, he's Squidward, you're Squidward, I'm Squidward! Are there any other Squidwards I should know about?
Meow.
I'm out of here.
Cut to Gary.
Yep.
Using a pickle as a nose.
It is a pickle. A sea pickle.
Cucumber. A sea cucumber. Yeah. Which is strange because isn't... When we get to the Kevin segment next season or in season 3, isn't he a sea cucumber?
I think he is.
So.
Excellent point. Yeah.
What's going on?
Gary's using an infant.
He's not normally a murderous animal, but on opposite day. Did you just hear my stomach growl into the microphone?
No, actually.
Okay, good. After she says this iconic line and Gary meows, she's fed up and leaves. Squidward is has attached himself to her leg as she's walking away, and she's just dragging him through the sand, and he's begging and pleading with her to sell the house, and she refuses. So his dreams of getting out of the neighborhood are dashed.
Oh, no, 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 please sell my house.
Never.
Don't leave me here.
I guess she is the only real estate agent.
Right.
Bikini Bottom. Although, I mean, they talk, right? Like, if she knows it's not a bad place to sell, or it's not a good place to sell, then, you know,
word's going to get out quickly.
You'll hear from it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Squidward is pissed and decides to get this trusty bulldozer and chase SpongeBob and Patrick around. And we get a great line at the end where SpongeBob says,
"Patrick, you ever feel that Squidward likes us too much?
Happy opposite day."
Excellently written.
Yes.
Because it's just like, you know, it implies like this is the first time that SpongeBob is realizing that like, he doesn't ever think that he likes Squidward too much, but now he's like, oh, this is too far.
This entire segment is hilarious. It's perfectly written. Love this realtor. Love the entire opposite day concept and all of the mileage they get out of it. The impressions of the other characters doing the Squidward impressions, and it's so early in the series, but they sort of have already built enough trust that these jokes about Squidward and his personality and all of these things are so funny.
Yeah, it's a great point. And you know, it's interesting, this segment or these two segments kind of reflect like two types of SpongeBob episodes, right? The first one is like almost a commentary on things, you know, and the first one, there's a lot of jokes that are going to go over kids' heads, you know, because it's really about like people hating their jobs and like what it's like to be as an adult, to live as an adult. And then there's just the goofy ones. And this one is just goofy, but it's so well written and so well done, that, you know, it's funny for anyone any age because everyone just likes to be goofy sometimes.
I agree. It is. I think we talked about during the original run of the podcast, when we talked
before we sold, you know, the second half of episodes to the network.
I'm so glad we got rebooted.
Yeah. Thanks, streaming.
Thank you. Speaking of, are you a Futurama fan at all? Or
yes, I have not watched the new episodes yet, but I'm excited that they're back.
I haven't watched the second one, but I saw the first one. It's so good. It's
oh,
really
wow.
Good. So good.
That's awesome.
I was very hesitant, and then I logged on to Hulu, and of course there it was the first thing in my face.
Right.
So yeah. I watched it, and it's great. So I'm hoping that they can keep up that momentum, but I'm happy it's back too.
It's all this original writers and stuff, isn't it?
Original writers, all the cast is back.
That's great.
Where did this fall in your ranking?
So first things first, one trivia point from the Wikipedia thing. I'm so good. Spongepedia. This was the first episode with Squidward's last name.
Really?
First time. Yeah. Which is shocking to me. And I don't know that we've gotten Patrick's last name yet.
Well, now I'm certainly not sure hearing that this is the first time we've heard Squidward's last name. That's crazy.
Yeah.
But I guess, yeah, I mean, we just take it for granted that we know these characters' names. So,
right.
You know, that's so interesting, though.
Yeah. So I had this one ninth. This segment, which is right after pizza delivery. I couldn't put it over pizza delivery. But, you know, other than that, it's great.
Well, I guess it really is opposite day, because not only did I put this right ahead of pizza delivery, this is clocking in at my number one so far.
Wow.
It pushed pizza delivery out of the number one spot. I love this segment.
That's great.
So much. And we are going to, I'm sure it won't stay there, because we get some really good ones in this first season. But for now, it is at the summit of the list for me.
That's exciting. I forget what my number one is. Oh, I have Plankton as number one. Yeah, that fits me.
That does fit you. I think Plankton has moved down to, not that I want to give our rankings, complete rankings right now, but Plankton, which is a great segment, has been bumped down to number six.
So wow, big drop.
Big drop, stiff competition happening. So before we get out of here, I want to do a little Bikini Bottom news, where we talk about a news item that is SpongeBob related, and I'm scraping the bottom of the barrel because this is barely SpongeBob related, but I feel like if SpongeBob's being brought up in pop culture, I must talk about it. Have you heard about this Ariana Grande story with the dude from...
Yeah.
Okay, so for those of you who don't
know...
Wait,
the dude from... What is he from? I just saw him. I don't know who he is.
So Ariana Grande was married to some man, and they are getting a divorce.
And now she's with the guy whose baby she held. Yeah, I got all
exactly.
that.
Exactly. So this man plays SpongeBob in the Broadway SpongeBob show. And they are starring together in the movie adaptation of Wicked. And so now there's been a lot of controversy because, they're dating, and the timeline of when they started dating versus when he and the wife separated or decided that their relationship wasn't going to work has gotten a little dicey. But I just think it's hilarious that somehow SpongeBob is in the middle of this, not only based on him playing SpongeBob in the musical, but recently Jill Talley, who's married, who plays voices Karen on SpongeBob, and is married to Tom Kenny.
I forgot about that.
An Instagram post on their wedding anniversary, because I guess there was so much conversation about Ariana Grande dating SpongeBob, she felt the need to clear up the rumors. So
what? This is going to be amazing. I can tell already.
Jill Talley's Instagram, she says, "Hi, everyone. I'm married to Tom Kenny, who voices SpongeBob on the TV show. He is not dating Ariana Grande. I don't know if Ethan Slater, who played SpongeBob in the musical, is or isn't dating Ariana Grande. However, they're both adorable, and I totally ship it."
That's awesome. That is great.
So, everyone calm down.
Tom Kenny is not dating. That would be so uncomfortable, because he had been on Nickelodeon like 15 years by the time she got on Nickelodeon.
Yeah, there'd be a lot wrong there. I'd have many questions. But I think that brings us to the end of our discussion for today. Unless you have anything else to add?
No, I'm good.
Well, you can follow us on all social media, not all the social media we have. Also, I feel like we should start saying this. If you're listening on Spotify or on Apple Music and you like what you hear, please rate us 5 stars and leave a nice little review. If you don't like what you hear, still rate us 5 stars and write a review, and you can say whatever you want as long as you rate us 5 stars.
Right. And send all your mail to your hate mail to, and then you can insert like an address of someone you hate.
Well, we will be back next time to discuss whatever the next episode is. And you'll find out then. Yes. Don't look it up. It should be a surprise.
No, it should be a surprise. It'll be in the title, but just...
everyone, I don't know how to end this. So you end.
See ya.
Exactly.
Go Phils.